Hey everyone, what is up? Welcome back to Meeples and Mishaps. It has been a while, but we are coming back at you with season number two. I am Corey and this is my bud.
K.O. and Barrick, and we are very excited to be back. We've spent a lot of time trying to think about what we wanted to do, where we wanted to take this podcast, and this is kind of the culmination of that. Season two, and we are going to be diving in to the board game company Waddington's. Now, you probably heard us talk several times last season about Waddington's, and so the simple fact that we covered several of their games already should tell you that this season is going to be pretty fantastic.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Waddington's, what a company. They have made a lot of really bad board games, some good, but we're going to spend this whole season two talking about Waddington's and their board games. Man, so, Kalen, season two, it's been a while since we ended season one. How long has it been? A year?
I think at least a year.
At least a
Maybe
year?
Maybe longer.
Man, so are we going to do that every season? Like the end of every season, we wait a year and come back with another season?
Maybe. I mean, as long as there's not a pandemic between everyone, I think we're good.
That's true. Well, you think about it. With the pandemic, we probably should have been recording like two or three more seasons. But, you know, since we're home so much during that time. But, you know, I guess other things happen. But, man, I am so happy to get back into recording podcasts, especially to get back into board games. You know, like we said, we are going to spend season two digging into Waddington's, the company, and just to talk about all of their board games. And remember, with this podcast specifically, we are looking for games that are obscure, that are crazy, and typically are on the bad side of board games. Basically, just not a lot to them, or they just the gameplay is broken, or they're just so atrociously awful, or they just look completely hysterical. Those are the type of games that you're going to find on this podcast. And guess what? Waddington's makes it so easy for us to find those games. So that is why we were talking about them today. And so today's game is going to be quite amazing. So Kalen, why don't you tell our listeners what today's game is?
Today's game is WCW Super Slam.
Super Slam.
So for those of you who don't know, WCW was a company of wrestling, not sports wrestling, not college wrestling, but professional wrestling.
In quotations, professional.
Yeah, professional in quotations, correct. So if you're familiar at all with it, because it's still going on right now, you'll probably be familiar with the WWE. Although it's been other names. When I was younger, it was the WWF, and that's what I grew up watching. But then people, even older than Corey and I, would have known maybe the WCW. And there's a couple other offshoots as well. But
yeah, especially as far as like popular wrestling federations, there are so many wrestling federations, you know, and just the ones that are like mainstream, even that, there's like, you know, 15 wrestling federations, you know, the TNA, NWA back in the day, like we said, WWF, WWE, WCW, like all these federations that had superstars, and surprisingly a lot of wrestlers are becoming actors nowadays, so that's another topic right there. But yes, WCW wrestling, World Championship Wrestling, is what this game is all about. You are going to be wrestling your opponents, but we're going to get into that more in a minute. So why did Waddington's come up with the game WCW Wrestling? Well, this game was developed in 1991, which coincidentally, 1991 was the year that Ric Flair became the first world champion to hold the championship belt in the WCW. So that's kind of a big event. And I'm assuming, Kalen, that's probably why they made this game. This was kind of the height of popularity with WCW breaking off and becoming its own federation. So you have this whole slew of fans. And it's like, all right, this is the year. Let's capitalize on this market. Here's a wrestling board game.
Yeah, exactly. I was a little surprised when I saw that it came out in 1991 because the biggest boom at the time of wrestling was basically just in the 80s, and it was with the WWE primarily because of Hulk Hogan. And most people are going to know who Hulk Hogan is. If you don't, go look him up. He's got a fantastic mustache.
And you meant to say WWF.
Yes. Thank you. It changed.
I don't want all the wrestling fans to jump on us for saying the wrong federation.
Correct. So I was a little surprised at that, because I was just like, it looks like they just missed the mark. Like, it was already declining in popularity at that point. But really it wasn't. And that's because the WCW had become a competitive company to the WWF. And that's why they just had their first championship in 91, as opposed to the several that the WWF had already had. So it actually was a really good time for them to come out with a board game. It was actually perfect for them. And of course, Ric Flair is in the game. And then ironically, the cover of the game has Sting on it, which if you are familiar with him, you've probably at least heard of Sting. He's still around as well.
Sting was definitely my favorite wrestler growing up.
Yeah. He was a little before my time. I remembered him. But there was like a whole slew of other people that had come out, and we'll get into that when we get into the history of it. But so let's look at the actual board, or sorry, the box of the game. So it's WCW Super Slam, and it's got this huge zoomed in picture of Sting. It's a very strange photo. It's probably not his most flattering look.
Yeah, and you could tell it's kind of like a painted version of a photo, and so the artist kind of got it right, but it's one of those, you kind of got some features off. And also, just so everyone knows, this is Sting in his colorful day. Like, Sting went through this phase, the wrestler. He was super bright and colorful when he came on to the first scene, and then his character just got darker and darker the more he was in the WCW. So on the box, yeah, he's got like the bright colors, the fancy jacket, and so that's what you'll see on the cover.
Right, yeah. So he's wearing like a light baby blue jacket, which if you're aware of who he is now, he's like all black and white. And there was even a point where he was all red and black, and that was creepy too. But so very much this was, if you know Ric Flair as well, like just the name Ric Flair, like he was just lots extremely of Flair. Flamboyant and just, you know, bigger than life. And that was kind of the thing at the time. And just to be clear, we keep saying Sting. Sting is not the singer from The Police. There is a Sting that's a singer from The Police.
I thought they were the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, they both have blonde hair. Probably not. So yes, very different guy. If you're not familiar with him, go look him up. Go look up the history of Sting. There's a whole video documentary on him. It's actually interesting if you like historical and watching people kind of come up with their life plans and figure all that stuff out and his success stories and how he became popular and whatnot. It's an interesting watch, but it's also wrestling, so it's not for everybody. So we've got this box and he's holding these two cards, which as we get into the game, we'll discover what the cards are for as well.
And one thing that I find hilarious is on the front cover of the box, you know, it's like this super bright, like lettering and stuff. And it says, there's a little circle on there and it says special feature, genuine WCW wrestling holds. Why?
it's so cool.
Is that the thing that's supposed to like catch you? Like when you're looking at the box, it's like, oh, guess what? These are genuine WCW wrestling holds in this game, but you're not even doing wrestling holds. Anyways, we'll get to that later. But I mean, if that's like their catchy, like, you know, look at the box, it's like, oh, I'm going to buy this game because it has genuine WCW wrestling holds in the game. Well, obviously, it's got to have wrestling holds in the game if it's a game about wrestling. So I just think it's kind of funny that they have that on the front cover of the box.
Right. And anybody who's going to buy this game, I mean, I would assume is familiar with wrestling, maybe not, but in that case, they're probably going to know the holds. Like there's only like eight of them. So like, you know, in however long of a match, how many holds can they do? Yeah, you're probably familiar with them.
Absolutely. And why don't you tell them about the wonderful pictures on the back of the box?
So the back of the box is pretty exciting as well. So it says, get to grips with this exciting board game. So great, great pun there. Good play on words. 2 to 4 players, 7 to adult. It's got a picture of the box, which the box is actually pretty cool. Like it's a raised ring. And the outside of the box are like the fans, in the crowd. And so it's actually a pretty legit box. But then it's got like the cards set out and it's got the little, they're not meeples, but they're the
standees.
Original. Yeah. The standees, the little paper guys stuck in the little stands. And then it's got 3 pictures of people playing, someone rolling dice, some people holding the cards and comparing them, because that's what you do in the game. Pretty straightforward stuff.
But that bottom picture is the best picture of the back, because you think it's actually a person's hand rolling dice, but when you zoom in closer, it is a doll's hand. Like, that is not a human hand in that photo. So I don't know who set that up, but that is not a human hand.
It's definitely strange. It definitely doesn't look right. It's kind of perfectly circled.
Yeah, it's weird. Kind of creepy. Like the top two hands, like they look like normal hands, but when you get to that bottom hand, it looks like plastic. Like it's definitely a staged shot. So anyways, that's the back of the box. And so this game, like we talked about, it's from the boom of the wrestling era, you know, which WCW has a long history, a huge start in the beginning to a failed crash at the end and a lot in between. When you talk about the history of WCW, we can go into a whole podcast about that. But so that's when this game came out, and that is what Waddington's was trying to capture when publishing this game in 1991 at the height. Now, did they hit their mark with publishing this game and bringing it to the audience with the hype of everything? Now, with most cash grabs, which this is obviously a cash grab game, you'll notice it in the mechanics of the game and how well thought out the game is. Because I guarantee you, this was not a 2-3 year long process game of trying to come up with the best one. It's a, oh crap, wrestling's getting huge. They just, you know, crowned a champion. How are we going to monopolize on this? You know, they had to team up with WCW to get the deal for the intellectual property, because this is branded with WCW. So, you know, they got the production rights and the publishing rights to use the name. So did they hit their mark? Well, let's find out while we run you through this game. But first, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor. Okay, and we're back. So we're going to talk about the actual gameplay of WCW Super Slam. And did they hit their mark with this game, or was it just a cash grab? So WCW Super Slam, like Kalen was kind of telling you about the box, it's really cool. That's probably the best part of this game. It's, you know, you take the lid off, you have this stand that kind of fits inside the bottom of the box that makes your ring. It has a ring in the middle. Well, ring meaning, you know, the square ring that you wrestle inside of. And there are 3, 6, 9 squares that make up the center ring. And there is a 5x5 squares, more like triangles, that kind of line the outer side of the ring. And that all fits into the box to make this raised like game board. So the point of this game is you are trying to basically pin or knock out your opponent twice. Basically, because you each, it's a tag team match, so you each get 2 characters. You got to pin or knock out their 2 characters to win a round. And then, which I think you win a round, you get a card that's like the championship belt. Is that what it is, Kalen, right?
I think the belt is like the, yes, you get 3 belts and then you get a trophy.
Okay, that's right. So yeah, you earn a belt by winning, by knocking out or submitting your 2 opponents. And then if you can win three belts, you win the trophy. So that also doesn't make sense because that's not how the wrestling works. You don't win multiple belts to get a trophy, but that's another thing. And so that's kind of the way you set the board up. You get the board set up. You pick two characters, which they actually are color coordinated. So they kind of already have predetermined tag teams for you. And so in this game, the characters that you can play, there is the Steiner Brothers, which were pretty popular at this time. Sting, obviously, one of the best wrestlers. You can fight me about that. Lex Luger, Ric Flair, who was, like I said, the first champion of WCW. And Ric Flair has one of the biggest and longest wrestling careers also. Flying Brian, Arn Anderson, and Barry Windham, which Barry Windham, he's kind of just like that guy. He's just always been there. And so those are your teams, and they are matched up in the game. You pick your two, you go to your corner, the other person picks their two, they go to their corner. One of your guys goes inside the ring, one of your guys stays outside of the ring. And what do they do from there, Kalen?
Well, gameplay from there is pretty straightforward. You've got this deck of cards that you're going to split and pass out. And then I believe you draw three.
Yes.
And you are going to play one. And so whoever is the first player plays an action card. The action cards are the different wrestling moves, the thing that's on the box that's supposed to be really cool. It's not. They're not real wrestling moves, unfortunately. Essentially, at this point, it's just a numbers game. And so whoever plays the highest number ends up winning that round, that duel.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the number, so if I played a one, you played a two, you would get to move two. And so you're trying to move spaces on the board strategically as you can, to where that you can eventually land on the same space with the other player. And then you have to win on that spot in order to put them into whatever that spot says. So it could be a submission, it could be a knockout, and it could be a pin down.
Yes. And that's the thing, is there's only six squares in the middle of this ring. So you don't have a whole lot of room to actually move around because it's a 3x3 grid. So no matter where you go, you're just like two moves away from the other side. You know, it's just you and your buddy circling. So when, like you said, when you flip those cards over and you play your action cards, whoever has the highest number, you know, wins. So the strategy at that point comes, do I want to play a low number now and save my high numbers later? So basically what it is you try to get onto your opponent's square because all the squares in the middle, except the middle one, say either KO, submission, or pin down, like you said. And so you want to either end your turn on their square. So if you end your turn on their square that says KO, the next time you guys have to flip cards over, whoever wins that actually wins a knockout on the other person. Or if you're on the pin down square, whoever wins the highest number gets to actually do the pin down on the character. So if you ended your turn in a square that the other player wasn't in, nothing happens. You just move your character. And so here's the thing also, is you also move your outside character, but the outside character, all they do is move around the ring. So that way, when they enter the ring, they have a different spot they can enter on. So it's really nothing happening on the outside of the ring.
Right.
Exactly. And they just kind of move around.
And you have to knock out both players. Is that correct? In
yes.
order to win the round?
Yes. You knock both out.
So like if you knock out my Sting and then I would move in Ric Flair from the outside or whoever the counterpart to Sting is in this game.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, so you'd still have to take out both of them, and that's why you've got the two players. Now, whenever you do land a pin down, a submission, or a knockout, so again, we're on a knockout space. I play a one, Corey plays a two, Corey knocks me out. I now have my single die, and I have to roll a six, I have 10 times to roll a six.
Yep, so it's like you're getting a 10. So anytime a wrestler gets thrown out of the ring, they have a 10 count to get back in the ring. So that's what that's mimicking. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not literally a knockout. You're not knocking me out. You're knocking me out of the ring, which is very different. And then I just have to keep rolling until I roll a six. If I don't, then that player's out. And then the next guy moves in. On a pin down or a submission, you have to still roll a six, but you only have three tries. And that is mimicking the ref hitting the ground three times, and that's the pin down or submission. If you've never watched wrestling, you need to at least go watch a wrestling match.
Oh yeah.
Actually, one of the greatest of all time that's considered, I believe, is the Sting Ric Flair match.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you can find that, you know, if you have no idea what wrestling is, go find that one, and don't go find whatever is, I don't know, like on TV right now. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but try and go find like a famous one. And that'll kind of give you a really good idea of what's actually going on with it.
Absolutely. And so basically that is the game. Literally, that's all you do. You're just going to flip a card. Whoever has the highest number, you move your characters. If you're on the same space inside the ring with your opponent, then you guys can do the effect of a KO, pin down, or a submission. And then whoever has the highest number does that to the other. So these cards do actually say things like, you know, a leg drop or a power bomb. So they have the names of the moves, but I mean, you don't know anything. So one thing Kalen suggested is if you are playing this game, it'd probably be better to actually act out while you're playing, you know, act out the moves and stuff, because otherwise this game really, there's not much to it. In that sense, you know, and you have to win, you have to knock them out three times, you know, you knock both of them out, you win a belt. And you got to do it three times to get a trophy. And that is the official winner once you get to the trophy. Now, in this game, it is a 2 or 4 player game, not a 2-4 players. So there's no rules for 3 players to play this game. So you're either 2 players playing against each other or 4 players playing against each other. Which I think would be very boring with 4 players, because the guy who's on the outside of the ring is literally just moving back and forth waiting for his turn. So,
or all 4 people play 2 people, and that could just be chaos.
Oh, that's true. That's probably what it is. It makes it a Royal Rumble. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
So then it would be whoever. I mean, I don't know how you would compare, but I mean, if you and I were on the same spot, then I assume you and I would just compare. But again, there's not very many cards in this game. So if you're dealing them out to 4 different people,
yep,
you're going to be shuffling pretty frequently.
Exactly.
Well, let's jump into why this game is weird, terrible, and fun.
Absolutely. Well, I would say it's terrible just because there is not much to it, in the sense that you can tell this game was rushed. And it was a cash grab because there was no real thought process to this game. It's literally just, what can we do that seems competitive? Oh, we flip a card over. Who has the highest number? Okay, boom, I win. You know, or you have to roll a 6 in 10 tries or 3 tries. That just kind of gets, you're at the mercy of that. So I think that's kind of what makes it terrible.
Yeah, I would agree. The sheer amount of luck that goes into this game is never very fun. When you're younger, you know, sometimes you can kind of look past it, but at some point, especially if you just don't have luck on your side, like, the game's just not fun. If you're super competitive. If you're not competitive, then maybe you'll have fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're competitive, for sure. And like you said, you can make it more competitive by having more fun, acting it out, whatever, you know, in that sense of it. But you know, and some people may absolutely love this game, and that's great. You know, obviously this is our opinion on it. As far as a game itself, is just not much to it. This is more just, like I said, a money grab and something that you can just buy for the collection. Most people are going to buy this game because it's a collector's item, because it's a WCW product. You know, it was one of the biggest federations that no longer exists. So it's just this cool collection to have to your WCW collection.
Right. And there are some other things, too, that I'll go ahead and mention. There's one card in the entire deck that's an out of the ring card. And it doesn't matter where your opponent is. If you play it, they automatically get thrown out of the ring.
Yeah, that's broken.
It just doesn't really make sense. You know, maybe if you were on the same tile or...
or you had a chance to roll against it, you know, it's just like, nope, I have this card, the one card to rule them all in the deck. I played it. You're out of the ring. Now you have to try to roll a six, you know? Right. So,
and then there's other things too about like, and this is something that, another reviewer mentioned, but the Steiner brothers typically wrestled together, but in this game, they're on different teams.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of weird too. So it's one of those like, okay, we have this idea, we have this property, and now let's just take it and run with it. And let's not worry about any of the details or if any of it's right. There are some cards that, there's like a pile driver, which is where you, the person bends forward and then you pick them up by the stomach. So they're upside down and then you drop down and it looks like you drop them on your head, but really, you know, your legs are protecting their head from the ground. But it's this really cool, like super move. But it's like a two. And so like it pretty much gets beat every time. It's like, well, yes, it would be harder to do technically if we're talking about an actual pulling off the move, but it's still like a super really cool move. Like, why is that so low? Why is this so easy to beat?
Yeah, exactly.
So they're definitely just, they took this intellectual property and they are just making this game as simple and as easy as possible. Now, it is made for 7 years old to adults. So the younger people are obviously going to get more out of this.
Absolutely.
The adults are going to play it one time and be like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Like I said, they're just going to buy it to put on the shelf because it's a cool WCW thing. Really that's kind of all there is to this game. You know, this was a big Waddington's production in 91. I'm sure they made a load of money off of this. This was probably something that sold a lot. But kind of like you said, it was just kind of lazy gameplay making, you know, and kind of like back to what you said about like which power move should be better than another power move. It seems like they just put all the moves on some cards and just like randomly generated numbers with no thought into, well, this one makes more thematic sense to be stronger, so it should be a 5 or a 4. And why do you have a card that's a 5 to when you can't? Yeah, it's just weird. But yeah, so, you know, that's kind of what this is. That's what this game came out to be. And also, if you try to buy this game now, it's like $150, like $200 if you can find this on eBay. So it is definitely a collector's item now. But that's really all there is to this. I mean, there's not really much else to say on this game. So, I mean, this is pretty much going to be, hey, first episode back, we got this doozy for you. So I think now would be the perfect time to hit our final thoughts. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first, Kalen?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's up to you.
I'll go first. I'll let you close this out. So, final thoughts. WCW Super Slam, the board game. I pretty much kind of said my final thoughts earlier. I think this game could have been really awesome. I mean, it is the 90s, so you got to look at where the state of board games was. Excuse me, where the state of board games was in the U.S. in the 90s. Still not much to games at that time. Everything was roll and move, you know, and not a whole lot of super strategic games. But they were getting there, you know, in the 90s. And so this game is just one of those. They kind of took some just super basic mechanics, threw it together in a rush to produce a product to make a lot of money, which they succeeded in. You know, gameplay, if you were to buy this game today or get it as a game to play, you're not going to get a whole lot out of it. Now, you may love very simple, nothing to them games, and that's great. Go for it. You know, this might be your cup of tea. It's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. We're taking it from a standpoint of, does this make it a really good game? You know, not really. And so that's kind of my thoughts on the fact that they could have done something really cool with a wrestling game, especially in the height of popularity, but they didn't want to spend the time. They wanted to make the cash, and that's kind of how it came out. So I feel like they just really missed the mark on producing a really cool product and just went for the money grab. But hey, it's Waddington's. They're known for making a lot of really simple, boring board games, and those are my thoughts.
All right. So my thoughts are pretty similar. I think they had a good initial idea. I think whoever made the actual board did a really good job. It looks awesome. That person was probably a wrestling fan, and then everybody else on the project probably wasn't. I find it really odd that some of the matchups and even some of the characters that they chose. I mean, you've got to have Sting, you've got to have Ric Flair, but I mean, there were definitely some other characters too that you could have chosen from. I would have been interested to maybe play, because I'm sure there's got to be a WWE or WWF game out there to kind of compare it to, but not a Waddington's one, so we won't go there this season. Maybe next season. But yeah, so the gameplay is, it just kind of falls flat. It's very, very luck based. Even the strategy of kind of moving, you know, picking which card you want to play first, so that you're kind of hoping that they play a higher card, you know, before you do, so that if you do land on the same, you know, there's a little bit of strategy there, but like it's so minimal, it's almost negligible to even call it strategy. And then of course the counting, both the 3 count and the 10 count are both also very wrestling, which I appreciate that. But the fact that it's just a die roll, you know, there's just not much to it. I mean, it would be better if maybe like if you got in a submission 3 times, then the 3rd time that was it, you know, like that would at least make some sort of sense, I guess, to me. So yeah, I mean, I think nostalgically these characters and the wrestling and all of that, it seems very cool. I love that concept of it. But the gameplay it's very luck based and it's kind of boring. Like even just reading the rules, it was kind of like, okay, I got it. Okay. Okay. That's it.
Yep.
So overall for me, I would say this is kind of a miss. But again, like you said, the whole point was to capitalize on the big wrestling boom, the big championship of the WCW. And in that regard, they nailed it. Could they have made a better game? I'm absolutely sure they could have, because there's little inklings of it in the game that, you know, they could have, but they stopped. And I don't know if that was just due to time or if they just, you know, didn't care at some point. Because there's definitely some games that they made where you can tell they just didn't care. But
oh yeah,
I don't know if this is one of them or not. So yeah, so I would say it's a miss. It's a game that I could see maybe playing with my son. That could just kind of be quirky and goofy and just, you know, easy. But then the flip side of that would be, I probably wouldn't want to introduce him to wrestling and then be like, you know, oh no, you can't watch it now. Like, we don't want to go watch it now. Cause it was very different. It was a very different time. It was, you know, it was just different. So I probably wouldn't even get this game from that standpoint. So I think in all regards for me, this game is a miss, but it still is still interesting and still kind of fun to look up and learn about. So all in all, another good day.
Hell yeah. So there you have it. This is our first game back talking about Waddington's this season. So we hit you with one of their big money grabs in 1991, WCW Super Slam. So get prepared. This season is going to be a lot of Waddington's games, and we're going to walk you through all of them. Maybe you have some of these in your closet. I don't know. That'd be cool if you did. But thank you all so much for hanging out with us. We are super excited to be back for season 2. Next week, we have another awesome episode coming for you with another Waddington's game. That's going to be completely different than what we talked about today. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Things are going to get a little hairy next week with the episode, but we're excited about it. So thank you all for hanging out. Thank you for being with us as we come back to podcasting. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, do all that fun stuff. Find us on social media. Kalen, how do you think we did on our first episode back?
I think it was good. I think we didn't say anything that people would hate us for or anything. So it seems like a win to me.
Oh, yeah. So we'll catch you guys next week. So until then, I'm Corey.
And I'm Kalen.
And we'll see you later.
This has been a production of the Quirkosity Podcast Network, a network of small to mid-sized independent podcasts with the same goal, to have fun and keep it quirky. Quirkosity, where podcasts and quirky meet. Visit Quirkosity.com today to find out more.